Hello, I'm Dr. Lou Condor, technical communicator, writer, editor, as well as adjunct lecturer at California State University, Dominguez Hills. Welcome to the podcast for the Advanced Technical Communication class, where we discuss key aspects of technical writing and communication. This week, I'm going to talk a little bit about script writing. Yes, we do use script writing in technical communication. It's truly a multi-purpose technical tool to help both internal and external stakeholders. Now, scripts are becoming more important in the field. So the boundaries they cross at organizations are within different disciplines. So for example, we have technical training, technical marketing, technical communication as a broader scope, customer service, which this may be the first line of help that a customer gets, or the first way they learn about a product. There you go, the technical marketing aspect. How-tos, human resources, certification, and more. These videos can be known as training videos, of course, because you can train people, but they can also be technical procedure videos, customer service videos, engagement videos, or also known as explainers. Audiences are broken down into a few groups. So who are we writing for? Okay, so you have internal, such as training new employees, cross-training employees for new positions, or to give them up to speed on a new piece of software. For example, like a company acquires Salesforce, they may not want to pay for the training, but because they already have one or two experts, so they want to have somebody internally create training material. New hires who may need to know what this organization has that wasn't there at their past organization. These are all sort of HR related. Internal videos could be used for just about anything, including meeting state and federal regulations in areas of certification and training. Now let's look at external, right? That's another one. This means the videos are for external use only, and it's a whole different way of designing these videos. The audience would be the general public, customers, potential customers, but it could also be used at symposiums, conferences, and trade shows. If you've ever been to a trade show, they'll have kiosks with information playing, and some of them are similar to sales videos, which you wouldn't have to worry about, but many are how-to. How did you use this new product that came out, and what are its benefits? Then you have the third and final kind of group, which is internal and external. And a lot of companies do this where they multi-purpose the videos, so they might make them a little bit different so that it both fits internal audiences such as sales and sales training, but also external audiences such as customers and all these other things, so that you're covering both areas. And it just really depends on what the organization needs. Also, external videos and internal external really do need to pay attention to brand and other things, and we'll get into that in a minute. So I'm going to talk a bit about script formatting, and I'm going to cover two styles. One is the television style, and the other is the industrial detailed outline. Formats can vary widely in scripts, so there's no perfect way. They're just sort of look like this, and these are the ones that I use. I use both of them, and I'll tell you why in a minute. A layout similar to the one in class we'll use is the television style. These are the ones I use most frequently for how-tos and consumer-fronted materials. I have some examples. Please look in the document section. I have an example of a video and a video script with the same information in there so you can get an idea. Now, television style is similar to a storyboard, and it may or may not have some simple images. I find that if I need to use them because the people approving and looking at it won't kind of visualize or aren't as familiar with the product, then it's good to put them in there. Otherwise, I might have a little bit of description, some audio cues if necessary. So if an alarm goes off, when you open a smoke detector, you want to make sure that that's noted. And when they do the final script, like shoot it, they may or may not show it. So, I mean, it's up to them, meaning the people who are doing the implementation of the video, but it's easier to have it there. You'll have dialogue or voiceover, which is really important, and any warnings that you may need, and also any call-outs or anything that you might want on screen, like if you have a page of text that's a disclaimer, you'll want to have that. You know, if you want to have a warning up about batteries, you can have that. So like that sort of thing. Don't be too stressed out about that. It's always collaborative on scripts. You're never really alone for the most part. It's great when there are a lot of stakeholders and approvers so they can visualize what you're writing and they can talk about it and discuss it, because most all external videos go through a lot of different groups. They go through customer experience, they go through the brand group, they go through everything. Even if they're technical, they go through legal department, because this is going to go out to the consumers. So they want to make sure that everything lines up with company policy. These are particularly useful for hardware and product setup, hardware use, troubleshooting. You'll see a lot of troubleshooting. If you go to any kind of company like Google or something, you could see that they have a ton of troubleshooting information up there, both documents and videos. They usually go hand in hand, and it's very handy. Television style videos will then be turned into storyboards when it's time. Production is very expensive for these type of videos. So what people do is they go through all the approval and then they do storyboards just to make sure everyone can cleanly visualize the work, right? So then they go through another round of reviews. This way, you don't have to worry about access to the narrator, you know, like a professional narrator. They usually are hired by whoever's doing the video. Music, editing, visual effects if needed. All this kind of stuff is usually done by another group. And it can be a consultant or internal in-house if they have a person doing it. I've done both ways. So yeah, I've seen that happen as well. On slide 5, I have a template of the particular template we're going to use in class. Like I said, they can vary scripts, but they basically contain the same information. So this is the commercial style, or the, on page 5, it's commercial style, or, you know, pretty much the television script. And then on page 6, it's a little more television style. So now you're seeing another format. And there's an irregular outline is just sort of like an extended outline like we've done in class. Those I personally use really extensively when I'm shooting the video myself, covering a how-to on a piece of software, and or a subject matter expert is doing it. I'm just capturing the screens, and then I'll add a little bit of quality to it. Like I'll make sure there's a title so people know what it is when they watch it, stuff like that. A lot of times they don't have music, but companies may have canned music or bought music library access. There's a lot of different things, but they're very simple videos. And if you're going to do those for an organization, you'll have to know a little bit more about the software. Otherwise, you know, videos are pretty much like any other document. You'd write them in Word. So what is a storyboard? Remember I mentioned that? It's like, oh, you know, they're going to make storyboards out of this. Well, a storyboard is a shot-by-shot description of a video. So remember that, a shot-by-shot description of a video. So it goes through each, what would be like a shot, and they're just stills on what would be technically like a piece of paper. You know, they'll do them electronically and you can print them out or not. A still image is used for each shot, and then it includes dialogue. As a tech writer and communicator, you may need to help out with this work. There's a customer experience team usually at an organization that's bigger, but you know, it's all about the customer and how they're going to get it. So this is for external videos, right? You want to make sure that they understand, you're at a level that they can understand, and their experience is a good one. You might have notes on action, visual effects, animation, titles, warnings, call-outs for each shot. All of this will be in the storyboard, and I have some examples posted in the documents area, course documents area, and they're very, very useful. So now, you might think, well, why do they use call-outs? Okay, such as arrows and stuff are often used to show movement. So they're not, this is not video yet. This is a screen, either a screen capture or just a drawing or something simple, as you can see, that it'll show how the video works, right? So if a person's hand's coming in to press a button, you will show screen direction. So they might come from the right side of the screen or screen right and come in and press the button. So they're very simple very basic, most storyboards, and very useful. And they don't have to be intricate, as you can see the examples. They can be very, very simplistic. You don't have to do these, by the way. Storyboards are usually done by whoever's doing the video. And when you record video for software, and you're just doing this internally for quick how-to videos, you're doing the thing, you don't have to do any of the storyboarding. They're usually done by what they call the video designer. The tech writer rarely has to deal with them at all, unless you can draw. The point of a storyboard is to get all the stakeholders to understand what they will get, so nothing's missed. And, you know, when you make videos between $20,000 and $100,000, they want to make sure it's right the first time and everybody's on the same page and they all understand what they're getting. People, it's much more difficult if they can't visualize it. So this way, it's a way to visualize what they're getting for their money. Look at slide number 9, and you'll see that there is an example of the storyboards. There's two different types. There's one without any dialogue, and there's one with dialogue. Sometimes we do videos without dialogue, and they're just going to have screenshots of text or nothing, and they just show how to do something. So now let's talk about the other type of script, the detailed outline. I've done a lot of these as well because I've done a lot of software. I've worked at software and R&D companies where you're talking about software processes, how to do something with a particular piece of software. It's for, you know, recording those processes and procedures, demos. And basically all you're doing, to make a long story short, is writing things down so you don't forget any aspect of it. And it flows better when you do that and record videos. So, you know, it depends on who's recording it. If the SME records it, you might not need an outline, but you'll need some kind of list of notes of things that you want to cover, like make sure you know how to load or install the software, make sure you understand how to start a new project, and then any complexities involved in that. These are more hands-on, where you or perhaps one other person will edit the video. And if you don't know this kind of stuff, you don't have to do this, but you can say you do the other types of videos. But I also edit, so it kind of helps. I don't mind doing that. You know, you have access to the Adobe products while you're in class at the university. I strongly suggest you play with them and download. Most likely you won't have music or sound effects or visual effects or animation. That's all great for this kind of stuff. I always put titles on the front and any information on the tail of the video on the very end, which might say, you know, look up more information here. And that way, even internally, it just is an extra step that's easy for the person viewing the video. Now, you or the SME, if you need to narrate it, will act as the narrator. On slide 11, I have an example of a detailed outline script. And basically, it's kind of like writing that how-to that you make as a technical writer and put on a website or in a manual. And then you just sort of, you can read it that way. And I kind of find it easier when I'm recording these things to have something to read off of. Let me list some of the people that I work with day to day. And one is engineering or an SME. They're not mutually inclusive. Usually it's engineering, but sometimes other groups can be the SME because, for example, where I work, one of the people went from engineering to sales, you know, because it's a technical area. So that person was there when it was created, so they really knew the product. You know, they might say, is the process accurate, such as setup or troubleshooting, and how does that look? Now, you might have another group called product, and they want to make sure the product is represented correctly and that, you know, the correct version of product is being used, not an older version. It really comes in if you're doing a consumer showing or consumer-based app, and this is a video for the consumer, so again, know your audience. We can't know everything as a tech writer. I've been saying this forever, but it's so true. And so we always have to work with SMEs, who are really called subject matter experts. One of the things a lot of companies call them is SMEs, and I really don't like that term. It's so weird. I like SMEs. SMEs help us learn a product or service super quick, and for that I am very appreciative, because sometimes it would take me like a couple of weeks to learn something where they can show you in an hour. Take into consideration, if you have a broad audience on the web, you know, what about if they're multicultural? Will they understand? Are you selling all over the world, or is your product just sold, say, in the United States, or even inside of a certain state, and that's it? So you have to know a little bit about that. You know, what is your audience? Are they multicultural or not? And if they're all over the world, you want to avoid metaphors, because metaphors, people might not understand them. And we'll talk more about this in this class and other classes. In case you create your own videos from beginning to end, such as software training, you know what I mean, for limited internal use, and decide to add production value by creating an opening, closing, or other aspect, there are some things to keep in mind. Like other docs, you'll need to get permission to use any copyrighted material, even internally. This is very important. If it's going to be seen by public, it's 100%. But even internally, you have to do that. So images, music, graphics, voice usage, sound effects, anything like that, you really, really want to get permission. Now, if you record a how-to with an SME, they have to understand how it's going to be, again, how it's going to be used, clear on what the video is. You know, are you recording it yourself? Make sure you know right away, because that alters how you'll write everything. And if you're going to do those demos yourself, make sure you know the software you'll need and how to use it. And for example, if you're recording screens, there's a lot of ways to do it, but one popular piece of software is called Camtasia, C-A-M-T-A-S-I-A. There's other ones, but you'd really want to make sure you know that software well. And they're really simple. They're not that bad. I've used Camtasia a lot. That's it. If you have any questions, let me know. And have a great week. Thanks. Music by Purple Planet Music at music://https://www.purple-planet.com.